910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A massacre in the California desert along a dirt road in San Bernardino County leads to discovery of six bodies, shot, and arrests of five people. A dispute over pot is suspected, says Sheriff Shannon Dykus.
This is an area known for illicit marijuana.
Mexican cartels suspected. Some of the victims were burned. As the Biden administration considers a response to the deadly drone attack on U.S. troops over the weekend in Jordan, Iran-backed militants are suspected. Pentagon spokesperson Sabrina Singh.
What I can tell you is that we know these groups are supported by Iran, and therefore they do have their fingerprints on this, but I can't tell you more in terms of who directed the attack.
Impeachment proceedings kick off tomorrow by House Republicans of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas over border issues. Teachers in Newton, Massachusetts, back on the picket lines tomorrow, day eight of a walkout over pay and other issues. This is ABC News. Teachers in Newton, Massachusetts, back on the picket lines tomorrow, day eight of a walkout over pay, parental leave, and staffing. It's illegal for teachers to strike in the state. The union's been fined $50 for each strike day. This condition is spreading.
Pediatric obesity affects 20% of all children and teens in the U.S., according to the Journal of Pediatrics, but rates have been rising, especially in Black and Mexican youth and those from low-income homes. Researchers publishing the results of a clinical trial involving motivational interviewing by doctors and registered dietitians in children 3 to 11 years old and focused on sugary drinks, eating out, fruits and vegetables, sweets, screen time, and physical activity. The findings? No improvement in a child's body mass index, instead increases in their BMI and weight. The study suggests more needs to be done to combat pediatric obesity. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Some online searches for Taylor Swift are being blocked by the social media platform X. The move follows the circulation of pornographic deepfake images of the singer. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A key committee of state lawmakers this week will take up a proposed $7.5 million matching grant as Wisconsin seeks to be a regional federal tech hub. Lisa Johnson heads the group leading the effort. She tells WISN-TV's Up Front that state approval is an important step.
So now the state's coming forward and saying, we do believe it, we agree, and we're willing to put money behind this.
The governor has to sign off on the matching funds by the end of next month. Vaping in Wisconsin is among the lowest in the United States, according to a new study. Research from Forbes Advisory ranks Wisconsin number 40 in the nation for e-cigarette use. Only 3.3% of Wisconsin adults tell the study they vape every day. The national average is 3.8%. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Bucks head to Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, to kick off a five-game road trip, and they'll be doing it with their new head coach, Doc Rivers, who admits you'll probably see some new assistant coaches hired and others let go.
There are changes that we have to make. There's no doubt about that. We'll start working on it immediately.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers beat Michigan State over the weekend, 81-66. They seek their fourth win in a row in Nebraska Thursday against the Cornhuskers. NFL, the 49ers headed back to the Super Bowl. They were down by 17 points, but came back to beat Detroit 34-31. In Baltimore, the Ravens lost at home to the Chiefs 17-10. The Ravens were 4.5-point favorites to win. Quarterback Lamar Jackson asked if he was frustrated losing to Kansas City.
Well, I'm not frustrated at all. I'm angry about, you know, losing. We're a game away from the Super Bowl. We've been waiting all this time, all these moments for an opportunity like this, and we fell short.
That's Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly cloudy sky, the low falling into the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the mid-30s. We warm up quite a bit, though, for Wednesday with sunshine all the way up to the mid-40s for the high. Currently, it's 37.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball coming up at noon on Tuesday. Another edition of Wacky Things Legislators Say in Madison. Join us at noon on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujonk, little Haley, the cute little Haley over there. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, you know, I just have a quick question for you. Did you have a good weekend this past weekend?
Oh, I definitely did. You know, enjoying the warmer temperatures today. We had some sunshine. So I don't know. I had to hit those ski slopes before the snow melted. What about you?
Yeah, I had a good weekend, round dancing and all that, and seeing a bunch of relatives. There was a memorial out at Shakopee, just all those good things that, you know, keep you close to your community. You know, the racist name of the Chiefs won this weekend, and I'm going to have to be hearing this this tomahawk chop during the Super Bowl now when I'm watching it. But thank God the networks don't show it like they used to, you know. Mm-hmm. You can hear in the background, you know, it's just kind of, oh my God.
Wow. It's the Chiefs and the 49ers, right?
Right. And the 49ers are a racist name too. I won't get into that. Chiefs is pretty straightforward. Hey, what would you do if we didn't have any guests like tonight? Let's say if we didn't have a guest, which we have Maggie Lorenz of Walk On TP coming on, and also Dr. Stately, our regular guest. What would you do there, Haley?
I think we would be pulling up some Ho-Chunk language and looking at some different language. We could compare languages with the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe, the Dakota people, and our Ho-Chunk language. I don't know.
I remember one time we did that, and that happened, and our guests didn't show up, and we started sending out the phone number to our regulars, and they jumped on, and I don't know, were you with us then? But that was that was a lot of fun. We just had, come on and save us. Robert's saying too much. We need a guest.
Mm. Well, I know that Maggie and the people at Wakan TP, Awan Adike, have a lot going on. There was something that happened over the weekend with
the Winter Carnival.
Yeah, for that little clue thing in places where they shouldn't be.
Right. Well, and, you know, Maggie's going to have an update on that, and I really want to talk to Maggie about her organization and get into that. It's an interesting world we live in, you know. It's we live in two or three worlds here, you know, or even more, you know, people understanding what sacred is to some people. You know, it's like when I was a little kid, you could walk on the Indian Mounds in Mounds Park. There was no fence around it. And people did play and walk on it. And that would be, you know, like walking on somebody's grave, you know?
Yeah. Or going through a church and looking for something.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Just so those things have changed in a good way. But that's because we've had leaders and elders step forward and say enough's enough. And so Wakan TP is going to be an interesting story because it does have a happy ending. But, geez, what I was reading last night, it was people, you get clues from the St. Paul paper in the Winter Carnival, which we don't have and are not having right now. And it really kind of concerns me, too, when it comes to global warming and what we have going on here as what we call weather. It might be good for t-shirt skiing, but it's not good for the economy. And I was down by the Mississippi River and there's no water going over the dam. I mean, there's things that I kind of look at this next summer, because we'll be in the second year of a drought, as a probable time that we should probably be conserving water. And the weirdness of that water being put on the stock market 3 or 4 years ago. And so it's going to be the commodity that people have been talking about for years, is that we'll be wars across this country fighting for fresh water, because there's not much fresh water out there, Haley.
I know, seriously. And water is life, and, you know, we need water for so many things. And I got to share a little story. So I go up to the North Shore quite a bit, and I went to UMD my freshman year of college. So this was back in 2016. So 2016, I took a photo above Palisade Head off of the North Shore there over Lake Superior. And I went back a couple years later, took the same picture in the same spot, and the water was lower visibly. Rocks were showing that weren't visible in the previous picture from years before. And then this past spring, I went to the same spot and the water was even lower. So
yeah,
it is scary, because that's, you know, where we get most of our fresh water, everywhere around the world.
Exactly. And you have companies that even secretly come to this state and suck out water out of Lake Superior, you know, out of the river. And, you know, there's companies out there, corporations that are doing that because, well, you know, we buy bottled water in plastic jugs. And, right. You know, sometimes we have to do that. Like in St. Paul, we found out just recently, and you know, I've kind of known this all my life, is that there's lead in the water, and you know what that does to you. And so I have an mm-hmm. excuse, but yeah. I mean, you know, you don't want to be drinking that. You don't want to be giving it to your animals, you know, which are your relatives, your pets, your family.
I know. And those PCPs too, and those plastics in the water and the runoff and the way they get into our agriculture and our water supply is not good. You know, I'm East Metro, so east of St. Paul, and we all know that the big 3M company is out here, and they've, yeah. you know, leaked chemicals into our water here, especially in Lake Alma before. So it's a continuous fight.
Yeah, they got a slap on their hand. I guess we won't have 3M, Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, advertising on our show. But that's kind of the difference between, hopefully, you know, us progressive speakers and this station and the other stations we're on. Big difference between corporate radio or corporate media than what we're doing here and trying to do. And, you know, we're just speaking our truth. And what's great about this show is there's so many people like today that are going to be coming on and speaking their truth, and we just have to give them the platform. And that's what's been exciting about having this show for over 7 years now.
Right, right. And just bringing more attention to Native organizations that do protect our land here, especially in the Twin Cities, because there's, if you're in the Twin Cities, there's not a lot of, fresh land that is untouched and still has all the natural resources that are native to the land. And so I'm really excited to hear what Maggie has to say.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's fun. It'll be fun to talk to her. I talked to her this morning and, we saw the posts that she was putting up and a lot of people reached out to her and you'll hear the story. It does have a good ending. There's certain places in St. Paul, I should say, that you cannot hide the medallion. And it's a significant amount. I think it's $10,000 it used to be. And if you didn't buy a button, it's $5,000. So people are out there digging around on their hands and knees for a sacred coin on our sacred land and hopefully leaving it in a decent way, which we'll find out with Maggie Lorenz, CEO, Executive Director of Walk-On TP here in St. Paul. All right. Hey, so we got 30 seconds left. You got a joke, Haley?
No, I don't. But since we're on the topic of Walk-On TP and the medallion, I heard on another station that I won't mention that they have been searching in the same spot the previous years. So maybe this isn't a first time.
Exactly. Hey, we'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Mary T., inviting you to experience our integrative Mary T. Health and Wellness Center, offering physical, occupational, speech, and lymphedema therapies. Experience our guided imagery, meditation, Tibetan medicine, dry needling, massage services, including cupping and oncology massage. Sign up for our free wellness screenings and learn more at marytwellness.com. All major health insurance providers are accepted. Come for therapy, experience wellness.
The new year and the new eagle have arrived at the National Eagle Center. When you visit this winter season, you can meet and learn about the newest bald eagle ambassador, Perseus. Plus, the center is your headquarters for winter eagle information and experiences, including weekly winter bald eagle counts, golden eagle information, unforgettable expert-led field trips, and small group private eagle habitat tours for your friends and family. Make eagles part of your 2024 and plan your visit or experience today online at nationaleaglecenter.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting Native news and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, we don't have Maggie on yet, but we have the great Dr. Stately on phone line here. Dr. Stately, can you hear me? Oh, I can't.
Hanging up.
I guess he didn't pick up. Wow, that's crazy. We're waiting for our guest here, and there we go. Is that Dr. Stately?
Someone's on the line.
Is that Dr. Stately? Oh, Dr. Stately, can you hear me? I can't hear you. Hold on a second here. Let me set this up.
I wonder if Dr. Stately ended up taking his boys up to War Road for Hockey Day, Minnesota.
I don't know. Let's figure it out here. I'm not hearing him. Dr. Stately, can you
hear me? Or
Well, you're not coming over the roadcaster right now. So hold on a second. Let me call you right back. That's weird.
I heard. Were you able to watch Hockey Day Minnesota at all?
No.
I think it's going to be held in Hastings next year, which is a little bit further, or a little bit closer, sorry, than War Road. So maybe we can go check that one out.
Yeah, that would be. Well, answer me a question. Did they play the NHL? Did they just play down here, or where did they play?
That's a great question.
I thought they were going up north, but then I thought I saw something, and that they were definitely down here. So
playing at the XL.
Yeah.
That's a great question. I'm not sure. I thought they usually played up there.
Is this Dr. Stately?
This is he. Well, the one and only.
I'm a bill collector, and I'm glad I got a hold of you. But you're live on the radio. Ho!
You're a bill collector.
Yeah.
Are you collecting dollar bills, $100 bills, $100 bills? What do you collect?
Yeah, Billy bills.
Billy bills.
There just like the old Billy beer from President Carter's. I just aged myself, right?
You did. Like nobody, like 3/4 of the people who are listening don't even know who Carter was.
Right. And he's still alive. He's the oldest president that's still right.
Oh, yeah, he is. It was his wife that passed away recently, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the first election I was able to vote on, the Reagan and Carter presidency. And
what year was that?
1980.
Oh. Oh, yeah. You know what? I think I was able to vote in that, too. That was the year I was my first time I was able to vote.
Well, we're still waiting for Maggie to come on, and she's probably, being the executive director that she is, probably busy doing things here, because I talked to her this morning, and I think things all went well. And I guess one of the things, if you have a minute here, Dr. Stately, seeing that we don't have Maggie on right now, we could possibly just talk a little bit about what happened this weekend. And the Winter Carnival has a medallion. If you buy a button, you get $10,000, and they hide a medallion somewhere in some park or something across St. Paul. There's four places that they can't be hidden. One's the Capitol. One's the governor's mansion, and then there's a couple more. And the reason why, and especially with no snow, the place gets dug up, people leave trash, you know, cans of beer and all this stuff. And that's what happened to Wakan Teepee, basically. It ended up being the medallions there. And Haley was telling me earlier that people do look there every year.
Why wouldn't they even think that that's a good idea? Like, who allows that to happen?
Well, what I found out from Maggie this morning is that, and that's why I said a little earlier today that it's a good thing, good things have happened from it. So the St. Paul paper has one person who hides it and gives the clue, and nobody else knows. So this isn't like the city doing it. It's the St. Paul Pioneer Press paper, and it's one person. So,
oh, wow.
So because it's such a hidden clues and all this. So when it all shook out, and Wakan Teepee's right by the river, and it's been a re-preserved place. There's a cave there that's been there, a birthday cave for 10,000 years. There's all these things, and he just didn't know.
Oh, my God.
Right. So now it's put on that list that it'll never be there, and so happily ever after that something did happen, and it... And
Well, what's interesting about that is that, you know, this is a really good example of like why it's important to do things like, you know, advocate so people understand Dakota history, they understand Dakota sacred spaces, that they begin, like, this is one of the reasons we have fought for decades now to get more information into the public sphere, into educational systems, you know, into legislation and those kinds of things. The reason why it's important to understand the history of Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. The Dakota people's land and these things. Like if this knowledge was more readily available, the general public, including in theory, somebody who worked for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, which is a news agency, and I mean their expertise is doing investigative research, right? And investigative journalism. You would think that they would know this information, or they would make a more strategic effort and intention to make sure that they're not doing something like this nature, which is like nostalgic or novelistic, right? It's not
right.
It's not anything about history. I mean, what are people learning from this experience? Is there anything that specifically that's beneficial to society other than like being the one person that gets to say, like, I found the medallion? That's crazy stuff. And it's harmful to so many people and to an entire group of people and then in a community.
Yeah. And it's a
cheap, hard way to learn that lesson, though, right?
Exactly. It's a cheap way to sell a lot more papers, because in the old days there was a clue in the morning paper, the Dispatch, yeah. and then the afternoon Pioneer Press, and that's kind of how it is.
I was a journalist, so I have a lot of respect for printed journalism. I was one of the editors of the Central newspaper when I was barely in its infancy, right? My degree in that. I was working towards my degree in that at McAllister. So I have a lot of respect for printed journalism, but I also think that, you know, this is it's also a business, right? Newspapers are a business.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the business of trying to sell their paper. They're trying to build their readership and the people who subscribe to it so that they can make more money, so that they can do what they need to do, which is, you know, they're probably trying to survive in it. Mm-hmm. In a time when, you know, nobody's reading newspapers anymore. Does anybody buy newspapers or magazines anymore? They read everything online.
Right.
So I get why they do that kind of stuff, but it's still harmful and damaging to a group of people who have been so damaged and hurt by the state of Minnesota and all of its, you know, colonial systems for generations, decades, right?
Well,
I think
all what's come out of this by talking to Maggie this morning was that good discussion, and they're going to put a big article in the newspaper about it. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they would have basically given us the finger. So I think there, you know, people like you that are in the community that are known, and that we're still here has been going on for a few years, and all the stuff that is happening good here in Indian country have opened up these doors.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do believe, like, if this was 10, 15, 20 years ago, they would have gave us the finger and said, tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think 10, 15 years ago, there probably wouldn't have been as big of a response, maybe. I mean, I don't know. AIM would have been much more active back then, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, hey, I appreciate you stopping in here. I know you got family in town, and I really appreciate you coming by, Dr. Stately.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so... You know, just I didn't know this news until I talked to you earlier today, and now I'm listening to you talking about it. So, you know, my sons are Dakota. Mm-hmm. I have a Dakota family, and so to hear that information, to hear that news, and to hear you speak of that, and, you know, Mac has a strong relationship with Wacom TV. We have a relationship with them where we take some of our young people. We have this project where we're reconnecting Indigenous young people in middle schools to the land and their spiritual and physical and cultural and ancestral relationship to that land, and we bring our young people to Wacom TV. It's just heartbreaking to me that I would do that to that space.
Yeah.
Just devastating and heartbreaking.
Well, again, we appreciate you and appreciate you spending time and checking in on this. It's really, really important to hear from people like you in the community. So, big peeny geegy, and give your mom, give your mother a big hug for me.
I will.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Take care. Thanks.
You bye-bye. Too. See you. Hey, Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A massacre in the California desert along a dirt road in San Bernardino County leads to discovery of six bodies, shot, and arrests of five people. A dispute over pot is suspected, says Sheriff Shannon Dykus.
This is an area known for illicit marijuana.
Mexican cartels suspected. Some of the victims were burned. As the Biden administration considers a response to the deadly drone attack on U.S. troops over the weekend in Jordan, Iran-backed militants are suspected. Pentagon spokesperson Sabrina Singh.
What I can tell you is that we know these groups are supported by Iran, and therefore they do have their fingerprints on this, but I can't tell you more in terms of who directed the attack.
Impeachment proceedings kick off tomorrow by House Republicans of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas over border issues. Teachers in Newton, Massachusetts, back on the picket lines tomorrow, day eight of a walkout over pay and other issues. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic presidential candidate Dean Phillips is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to allow him onto the state's presidential primary ballot in April. The state's Presidential Preference Selection Committee met earlier this month to decide who will appear on the ballot, naming President Joe Biden as the only Democratic nominee. Phillips says voters deserve a choice on naming the party's nominee. The state Supreme Court called for the committee and the State Elections Commission to respond to Phillips's complaint by Wednesday. Governor Evers toured Wisconsin Monday to talk up his task force on the healthcare workforce. It's an initiative he announced during his State of the State address. There were stops in Neenah, Wausau, and Fenimore, to name a few. The governor's office also says he'll talk about efforts to address the challenges facing Wisconsin's healthcare worker shortage. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly cloudy sky, the low falling into the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the mid-30s. We warm up quite a bit, though, for Wednesday with sunshine all the way up to the mid-40s for the high. Currently, it's 37.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it was really good to hear from Dr. Stately. I know he was busy tonight, but it really got him going. And again, his relationships with Wakan Tipi and what great work Maggie Lorenz is doing there. I feel like I should read her post, Haley. Do you think?
Let people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so this is her post from 19 hours ago. It's been a long day. What started out as a lazy Sunday turned out what felt like another battlefield or defend our sacred places here in the cities. I was upset, hurt, and frustrated but most of all, I was exhausted from screaming into what seems like an endless void. And once I worked with educated group A on what they shouldn't do, X, at a sacred site, then here comes group B. It seems hopeless today. I felt defeated. And then, just as I was about to put diplomacy down because I thought maybe that's not working anymore, something amazing happened. I got a phone call from the Parks and Recs director at the city, who was already in touch with the Pioneer Press and the situation. He gave me options, solutions, and asked what we wanted to do and see happen next. He was already working on it, already advocating, already working to find a remedy. He passed my info along, and then I got a call from the editor of the Pioneer Press. Apologies and solutions were offered so that this never happens again. I got a call from the city councilwoman, from friends and neighbors. I heard about the emails that were sent to the city officials and event organizers. I read comments online, most of them incredibly supportive of protecting the sacred place. I even saw a former medallion finder post a call to action for the Pioneer Press organizations to keep this site on the off-limits list. The Pioneer Press is going to write about what happened and what they learned. Our friends at NPR and Native Roots Radio reached out as well as offered help us spread the word. Wakan Tipi is a sacred place and deserves to be honored and protected. Today was a good day for every single one of you who has put your heart, mind, and energy, even for a moment, in defending this place. Thank you. It's impossible to carry this kind of work alone today. Today, I was shown unequivocally that I absolutely don't have to defend. Mm-hmm. Hashtag defend the sacred. So what turned out really dark last night with this medallion being found down there, and Wakan Tipi, and it's in the lower bluffs off the Mississippi River. For people don't know. In the Twin Cities, or our friends in Wisconsin that listen to our show, and above these cliffs is not only the mounds. At one time, there's three mounds there, and there's a park called Mounds Park above it. And at one time, there was 100 mounds up there filled with ancestors for 10,000 years from all tribes across Turtle Island that buried their ancestors in these mounds, right, which is a graveyard. And then below the mounds, in the middle of the cliff, is a birthing cave, which was sacred for over 10,000 years, and there was ancient drawings in there that were stolen. There were water that ran in there 50 degrees year round, so people came all over to birth their young ones there. And so this is a really, really sacred place. And I had the opportunity, Haley, to when I was teaching, is bring a couple dozen Native students down there. And we started planting sage and berries and things that originally grew there that hadn't grown there in a long time, because What it was when Wakan Tipi took it over, it was a kind of a dumping ground for the railroad. So it was very polluted down there, and they put tons and tons. I think I heard something like 8 feet of new soil down there because it was so contaminated. So
wow,
8 feet through that whole area is a lot of soil. But I asked Maggie a few years ago, you know, has the sage and everything grown? And she said, yeah, it's growing. And so I have to get down there and take a look. And, you know, we have to protect this. We have to,
speak up for the land.
Right. And it was funny what Dr. Stately said, too, because that made me think, too, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, I would have probably been down in the Pioneer Press immediately and protesting, and like the Angster Gangsters used to back in the day. And we need our groups out there and young ones to speak up and let their words go. But diplomacy did work and this time, and all the work that Maggie's put in with the community and educating has worked. You know, I think I'm going to call this a big mistake that'll never happen again. And I think that's what I was trying to say to Dr. Stately, is that it's different now, and it's better now, and it's getting better. But we still have to be resilient, and we still have to speak up, and we still have to educate.
Exactly. Yeah. And I am curious, too, if this was the same person that's been in charge of hiding it every year. Or for the past years. And yeah, I think that's a great point that Dr. Stately made too, is that as a journalist, you're trained to make educated, you know, research. And I just can't believe that they didn't know about this site having, you know, that significance. It's really, really hard to believe for me.
I would, you know, the person that makes the clues for this medallion, and like we were saying in the old days, it was two clues a day. They sold a lot of papers. The Winter Carnival was a big thing. It was really, in my teens, it started to wane, and it was a big thing, big parade, big happenings, and they sold a lot of papers with that. I'm wondering... Because, and it's secret who does the hiding and does the clues. There's only one person, what I found out, and I've heard this before, but and it's still that way, that one person. And I don't know if this person's 80, 100, or 40 years old now. I, you know, it'd be interesting to know that, but I don't think we'll ever know because it's a secret.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and I was going through some comments, too. I think it was just comments maybe on Shelly's post. But people are like, well, you don't see us hiding things in churches and graveyards and sending people to go digging through those sites either. So,
yeah. Well, it has to be educated because one time it was, I think it was called the Bruce Vento area. And wildlife
area. Yeah, it's had a lot of names. Yeah.
Yeah. And when Maggie became the CEO 5-6 years ago, they changed the name and then also the direction because, as Dr. Stately said, it's Lakota Dakota land, and that's their land. And there's going to be a learning center down there, and they've been fundraising for a long time. So there's things like that need to be happening, but still you go down there for spring cleaning and there's people dumping trash down there and there's no way to keep it clean. There's no camera down there to see who's down there doing things like that. And it's just, it can be disgusting. So it's an uphill battle too for Maggie's organization and the community to keep that area clean too, which it shouldn't be. But again, I feel like, you know, now we are educating people out there. This article hopefully will educate the people that read the St. Paul Pioneer Press and the things that are happening online. There's a lot of people speaking out. I just happened to see Maggie's post last night. It was a different one, and it was just like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So this is something we need to talk about. We need to educate. And there's many places like this. As you know, Haley, we have burial grounds. We just had that opening with the book, you know, to banish forever the history of the removal of the Ho-Chunk and how Mankato stole our people in the Mankato and big shots and big mansions down there that are now, you know, in the historical society or historically can't remove because they're a historical landmarks. These same people that have landmarks and streets named after them stole our property and stole our land and stole our corn and tried to steal our dignity.
Mm-hmm. And our culture and way of life, even. While we're on the topic of Mankato, actually, I want to make a correction. I said in the previous segment that Hockey Day Minnesota was going to be in Hastings next year. It will actually be in, so Shakopee, I guess, not on the same page as Mankato, but it will be in Shakopee. So that's cool. That's by Dr. Stately, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll be staying over at his house. Barbecuing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I feel bummed out about that because we could have gone down for Hockey Day and done a protest at the same time.
Oh, I know. Down there in good old Mankato.
Yeah, definitely. Well, maybe another year they can have Hockey Day down in Mankato.
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, hey. You know, this is, I think I jinxed us in the beginning of the show when I said that we would have no guest on, but we did have Dr. Stately on for a quick minute, and I got to read Maggie's quote, and we'll probably put the phone call out there, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Give us a call if you want. Tell us how great Haley's doing. We'll be right back after the short break.
Stay with us.
Oh. As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. Right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, what's going on? I just talked to Maggie, and she was stuck in a meeting. So,
oh no, that's not fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, hey, my head is on Hockey Day Minnesota still. And I think I just got all switched around on locations because Hockey Day Minnesota, we were skiing, right? And we were like, oh, why don't they have the Wild game on in the chalet? And we're like, oh, you know, we're in Wisconsin. We were out at one of the ski resorts in Wisconsin, actually. So, but what is nice is living on the east side of the Twin Cities here is being so close to the Wisconsin-Minnesota border.
Yeah, you can say it's nice. That's one way to put it. Definitely. Aww.
Jealous?
Jealous. Oh, no. Not jealous.
No, that's a bad water over here.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a hold of Maggie right now. Maggie, are you there?
Hi, yeah.
Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio, last segment of the show here. How you doing?
I'm good. It's been a busy day.
I bet, you know. I had a chance. We only got about 7 minutes here left in the show. Thanks for stopping in. I had a chance. I read your post on Facebook from today, and we talked about Walk on Teepee and the location and the things, and it's just been an exhausting day. We had Dr. Stately on talking about it, and it's great to finally get in touch with you. How are you doing right now? It must be exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind, which but it's been in a good way, I think, because you know, when we first found out that the Twin Cities treasure hunt medallion was found at Bruce Bento or at Wakan Teepee, it was really frustrating. And I feel like I told this story like 3 to 4, you know, 5 times today. Mm-hmm. But it was a little bit frustrating because, you know, we've been doing a lot of work over many years trying to advocate for the site. We as in my organization, but we as in Dakota people, it's been, you know, decades upon decades of advocating for the site, trying to regain access, regain connection for our community to the sacred place. You know, it's fallen on deaf ears for the most part, from all different levels of, you know, land owners and land managing agencies. And only in the past few years, we've really made some good progress. And I think it's just, you know, kind of the right time in our society for people to actually care about Indian people, mm-hmm. Which is really sad that it's taken so long.
Right.
But it's good that it's happening, I guess. So, you know,
well, Dr. Stately and I were talking about it, and I said, like, if this was 10, 15 years ago, they might have just said, whatever, you know, tough luck, and then we'd have to get the Amster gangsters over there to protest this, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's essentially what did happen. And, well, it was in the 70s, I think, AIM and the Red Schoolhouse and other, you know, Native community members and tribal members came to kind of call on the city to close the entrance to the Wakan Teepee Cave because at that time it was open and people were going in there and vandalizing what was remaining of any of the ancient petroglyphs and rock art in the cave. So, you know, AIM did have a hand in getting the cave closed to the public back in the 70s. But yeah, I'm glad that we don't have to do that kind of level of protesting. At least right now, you know, to get some of our work done and start moving things in a good way at the site.
Maggie, how long have you been executive director again?
Just about 5 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, I started in March of 2019. So it's been a while.
Yeah, I was talking to Haley and her listening audience out there that I had students come down there and plant berries and sage and things, and it's just a beautiful vibe down there, and we still have to talk about it because there's people that still go down there and are disrespectful.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, some of the major things that I took away from this whole incident was, one, that, you know, times are changing significantly. I mean, because not only when this kind of incident happened, I didn't have to get on the phone and try to start, you know, calling around to people to make my case heard. I was getting the phone calls and people were saying, oh no, this happened. How can we help make this better? And so the fact that I didn't have to be the one pushing, and people were responding to it, and they already knew it was an issue from the city, from the Pioneer Press, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of just better, I guess, intentions and people willing to change the way things have been always done in, you know, this colonial kind of society we live in now. So that was really encouraging. But then, you know, also it was like, until we get to a point where we can prioritize with the city renaming this site and redesignating it, because right now it's designated as a public park and people are going to treat it like a public park until it's not designated as a public park. I mean, people go down there for all kinds of recreation, including a treasure hunt, but all kinds of other recreation activities. That's just not mine with how you would expect people to engage at a sacred place.
Right. Wow. And so to be continued. And I think what you're saying earlier, too, I really agree, is that there's people, there's allies out there listening now. There's more progressive people in the community that understand this is Lakota Dakota land. And, you know, and that there was people here way before the colonization of this state, before it was a state.
Absolutely.
Well, I know you got to get going here. You had a really busy day. I want to give you the opportunity to just to say a few more things about Wakan Teepee, if you don't mind, and we'll let you go, because I'm sure it's been an exhausting 24 hours for you.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of great things are happening at the site. So our programs team year-round is doing events at the site to help with the stewardship. And maintaining, you know, a healthy ecosystem there. Sorry, I just had a bunch of people come over. We're having people over for dinner. So, you know, we just had an event. It's called Seeds and Snowshoes. This year we didn't have a lot of snow for that, but you know, you bring community out and they help seed the site over winter, because there's seeds that need that kind of freeze thaw cycle to break their dormancy. So we did that, and we have other events like that coming up. So, you know, if people are interested, we have a lot of volunteer opportunities and a lot of different community programs that help educate people on not only the sacred site and the cultural history, but also teachings around traditional ecological knowledge and our plant relatives. So wakantipi.org, and just would love for anybody who cares about this to join our community and sign up for our newsletter and stay in touch.
Right on. Hey, thank you so much for taking our call. I know you've had a busy 24 hours, and I'll be over for some of that corn soup here in about 20 minutes.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Maggie. Have a great day. Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Well, that was Maggie Lorenz of Wakan Teepee, and glad to have her on and speak her truth. What a great organization. And what a lot of work a lot of people put in the Twin Cities to get these people going. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on, it's sacred ground, and it's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. If we're still here, we are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Matt Nair on Air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Five arrested in what looks like a California desert massacre.